The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yesterday on the show, or the day before rather, I spoke to the journalist and historian Kevin Myers. And we chatted about the conflict in Gaza. And in the midst of our conversation, I asked him if he thought the two-state solution is ultimately the end point to this conflict. Here's what he had to say.
Finished. That just died. That just died.
So what's the solution? I have no solution.
I mean, I'm not here to discuss a solution. I have no idea what the solution is.
How do you imagine then it might...
I'm a pessimist by nature. So what
you just think perpetual conflict?
Yes, I do anything imaginatively. I can't do anything physically. Imaginatively, I could think of a solution. I would tell you. It might not be a realistic one, but I would tell you. But I'm full of pessimism about this.
That was Kevin Myers, the journalist and historian, striking a very pessimistic note on the possibility of a two-state solution. With me now is Dr. Jilan Wahba Abdelmajid, the Palestinian ambassador to Ireland. Dr. Wahba Abdelmajid, thank you very much for speaking to us. Do you think that the two-state solution is, as Kevin Myers put it, finished, dead in the water, or is it still the possibility? Is it still something you strive for?
Let me say that, I mean, he based his views as pessimistic. He's not like based his views on historical or political, based or foundation. What I wanted to say is the two-state solution is the only viable solution for stability and peace in the Middle East. And the state of Palestine must be viable because this is the right of the Palestinian people. And I see it. And I see it that it's coming. Because this is the only way that the recognition of the self-determination of the Palestinian people through the international law, through the United Nations resolution, that what makes it possible and must be viable, because there is no other choice. The occupation, colonization of Palestine must end, and there must be a Palestinian state. Otherwise, this region will be instability, and I don't think that any of the international community are really happy with what's going on. I still see it because I see it that it's a right and it's based on international law and it must be viable and it must be very, very soon, because this colonization must end. And I wanted to say it, this rogue state is extended beyond any kind of imaginations, human beings' thought of what's going on against the Palestinian people.
Do you think we are further away from the two-state solution now than we were, say, in the mid-90s when it kind of was being discussed much more openly? Are we closer to it in a strange way?
Listen, I mean, Israel didn't spare any event or any action to make it unviable, like colonization in the West Bank going ahead since then. We talk about like more than 750 settlers living in more than 250 illegal settlements, but they are built, like they were built and still be building on stolen lands of the Palestinians. And this is in breach of international law. When you talk about international law, either you respect the international law and abide by it, or like you cannot be a member of the United Nations, which give you this right to exist. Like back in 1947, Israel was created according to UN resolution. So if you are respect international law or you don't. So this illegal colonization and this is the illegal colonies in the West Bank must be removed. This is occupied territories according to the international law. And this is where the Palestinian state should be.
But that, you know, that 1947 kind of UN partition plan, I mean, the Palestinian state was huge, much bigger than the kind of Palestinian area of control today. It was kind of almost on a par in terms of size, its geographical footprint to the Jewish state as it was described at the time of the partition. It's obviously much smaller by the time you get to kind of Oslo Accords and stuff now in the mid-90s. Do you imagine it's even smaller again now that the Israelis are unlikely to agree to anything that would see them cede control of areas of the West Bank that they have taken over?
As I believe of the UN resolution and believe in the international law and how all the nations must abide by the international law, I still see that even with the compromise over the years for 45% in 1947 and 22% over the 1967 borders, which now we're talking about. And even though after the Oslo Accord, this is international law and this is the language that I understand, this is completely different from what the Israelis actually on the ground, what they are doing. If the international community wanted to bring respect to the international law, they must do something. They must act. I mean, you cannot keep supporting Israel by breaching the international law. And when our president said in his last statement at the United Nations General Assembly and asked to suspend Israeli membership, it's just because if you are part of this international community, you must abide by the international law. Mm. And this is why, I mean, we call the international community to take action, stop, send arms to Israel, because this is what makes it kill more Palestinians on a daily basis. And I'm sure that everybody's witnessing in the last 10 days, I mean, Israel insists of annihilating the Palestinian people. They kill, they burn the people while they are in tents and hospitals. This is something beyond, as I said, beyond anyone's imagination or expectation. But because Israel is acting with impunity and there is no accountability, Israel will continue to do so.
We remember kind of from those Camp David Accords and Bill Clinton standing, in the background. And even in this country, you know, the US were effectively the sponsors of peace in Northern Ireland, which didn't see devastation anywhere near the scale that we're seeing in Gaza, of course, but devastation nonetheless. Are they the kind of the third party actor that needs to invest themselves in a two-state solution for it to happen? I mean, does it live and die on the US deciding this is the way out?
Listen, I cannot deny that the Americans, they play a big role in the Middle East and, of course, a supportive of Israel. And if I wanted to say if there is a will from the United States, they can do it as they did it in the Northern Ireland. But it seems until now we see a continuation of armed support, of aid support, financial support to Israel. And it seems that the Americans still believe that Israel is their big ally, and they don't want to take any serious action to stop this genocide in this genocidal war against the Palestinians. If there will be a will from the United States, I'm sure that they will find the way with the Palestinians and with the Israelis. We were ready since we signed and we chose the peaceful path in 1995, but after 30 years of negotiations, we reached nothing. The more colonization, more colonial settlers, more expropriation of land. But because Israel continue to act with impunity, and I don't want to repeat myself here, there must be accountability. Because I mean, if you go even for a young child and you just leave him to make mistake after mistake after mistake, and doing this without put him into accountability, I mean, he will continue to do this. Yeah. So the international community hold responsibility to stop Israel and put it and to hold accountable for all its actions and breaching of international law.
Dr. Jilan Wahba Abdelmajid is the Palestinian ambassador to Ireland. Ambassador, thank you very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.